put everything up here on PowerPoint, and you can take notes. But I don't know if y'all have, this is, of course, my iPhone up here, but one of the things that it has is artificial intelligence. I still don't understand all the things that it can do, but it amazes me how if I go online, and Jade and I have talked about this, if I go online and look at a certain product, then all of a sudden it starts appearing in my social media platforms. But then one time, yeah, Dad said, I hate that. And then one time, I swear I never looked it up. I just talked about it. I think our phones hear us too. And then it starts showing up as well. That's the this privacy thing is out the window with this AI. And so it made me think that's kind of where my title came from, because artificial intelligence is a wonderful thing. It can also be not so wonderful thing. But one thing that we all need that is a very wonderful thing is spiritual intelligence. And I don't care what your age is in here. I know we have some that are older, some that are younger. I don't care your age. God wants to give you spiritual intelligence and spiritual intelligence for relationships. Sociologists say this. They say that each one of us in here, you're going to, depending on your personality, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert or somewhere in between, you're going to have this year, you're going to have anywhere from 500 to 2,500 interactions with people per year, depending on your personality. Colt's like, I'm below 500 now. But you're going to, I know Colt, he's my nephew. I can pick on him. I like to pick on my nephews if you haven't seen. I'm a good uncle. I like to pick on them. But so introverts are more down towards the 500 range. Extroverts, the ones that are up the scale, they're the ones that are in the 2,500 range. But here's the deal about all of us. No matter where you fall in that category, 40% of our time are spent with the same five people. I shouldn't think about that. So that's who you're basically discipling. And so when we flip this over to Jesus' life and Jesus' ministry in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you study Jesus and his ministry, he spent a lot of time with the multitudes. You can read about it where he taught the multitudes and everything, but he also spent more of his time with 12 disciples, and then you can even break it down even further than that. He spent a lot more time with three of those guys, Peter, James, and John. So even Jesus had this scale of relationships. And God, by nature, is relational. He's a relational God. So that's why we have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are created, each one of us, and I know I'm going over some basics here this morning, but every one of us in here are created in the image of God, spirit, soul, body, Father, Spirit, Son, but we're also created relational. In fact, the only time in creation where God said it's not good is when man was alone. He said, this isn't good. Man needs relationship. God created us for relationship. First of all, our relationship with him, and then our relationship with others. But I know what y'all have seen on the news. I know what's going on in our culture, in our society, in our world today, in our nation. And so from pandemics to protests to senseless murders to economic madness, the world is really struggling, and our government as well is really struggling in this area of relationships. Amen? Everybody's struggling with it. And I said this a few Sundays ago, is this is something I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me as a pastor to minister about this, to share God's word about this, because we don't want this infiltrating this spirit. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. I hope you realize that. We're not fighting against Democrats and Republicans. We're fighting against a spiritual force that's at play. And if we listen to that, even as Christians, if we listen to that, take heed to that, it can get into our lives, into our thinking, into our homes, into our marriages, into our families. And that's what I'm wanting us to do, is to guard ourselves against that. And so I'm going to teach you about spiritual intelligence for relationships. God does want us to love everybody, right? Amen. But now I'm going to take this a step further. Is everybody ready to learn something today? Okay, we're going to take this a step further today. So we're creating the image of God. And that's one way that God has empowered us to thrive in life, is through a specific spiritual gift that is available to every believer should they ask for it? And what I'm talking about is the gift of discernment of spirits, or as some translations say, the gift of distinguishing between spirits, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all right? Now, don't check out on me right now, all right? Don't check it on me. First off, the discernment of spirits is not ghost hunting. Look at somebody and say, it's not ghost hunting. Okay. It's not communicating with the dead. We don't do that around here. Nor is it altogether creepy or even that mystical for that matter. In fact, I believe that God's a very practical God. All right. He is spirit, yes. But we live in a natural world, and he's very practical. In fact, in my opinion, this gift is one of the most undervalued yet beneficial gifts that serve the body of Christ, and if applied correctly, would eliminate a great deal of spiritual warfare in your life. So we all need to listen to this today, okay? It's a supernatural gift from the Holy Spirit that empowers one to discern between any and all spirits individually. When one functions in this gift in a healthy way, and as God purposed, believers, that's us, arise as the solution-driven peacemakers that they are and begin the work of recovering, reconciling, and restoring those who the enemy has attempted to kill, steal, and destroy. And everybody said? Okay. Now we're going to look at the first passage of Scripture, and this is Jesus' life. In John chapter 2, verses 24 through 25, it says, "But Jesus didn't trust them." Everybody say that, "But Jesus didn't trust them," okay, because he knew all people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew that what was in each person's heart, all right? It's not just the outward appearance, it's what's in a person's heart. I told my daughter this week, we were talking about a relational thing that was going on in her life, and I said, "Honey," I said, "I'm going to teach you something that has taken me, you know, 50 years to learn, but when you're talking to somebody, do more listening than you do talking, because out of the abundance of their heart, the mouth speaks. You'll get to know who they are, who they really are, if you'll just be quiet and listen for a little bit. But here's the deal with relationships. And Jesus said he didn't trust everybody. Now, Jesus had relationships with a lot of people, but he didn't trust everybody. And here's the deal. What happens is in relationships, I think, some people, they go plumb over here to the left, and they're very naive and gullible, and they just trust everybody. We can't be that way, right? That's not healthy. Then some people go plumb over here to this extreme, to the right, and they're paranoid, schizophrenic paranoid, that everybody. So they're walking, or they're the ones that walk around, and I'm all for concealed weapons and all that kind of stuff, because we need to protect ourselves, but they're the ones that they've actually got the hand like this at all times, wherever they're at. I mean, they are paranoid. And I believe in being, don't hear me out, I believe in being safe and everything. We have things go on here on Sunday morning, you think, okay, yeah, we're in a little small town in Western Oklahoma. We have people in place here to take care of our church house so that people feel protected and secure. We're not paranoid, amen, but we're using our noodle that God gave us, our brain, to take care of everything. But there's some people that take it a little, Barney Fifes, all right? They're just too far this way. They're just ready to shoot somebody at any moment's notice. Paranoid. We don't want to be like that, okay? We don't want to be naive and gullible, and we don't want to be paranoid. We want to be in the middle, and this is where God wants us to be discerning in relationships. Discerning, all right? And we're seeing a lot of stuff being thrown at us right now on TV and this stuff that's really going on in our nation on this relational scale, and I'm going to try to break it down for us a little bit today. But when you study the Gospels, you'll find out that there's two different kinds of people. Like I said, there's introverts and there's extroverts. There's what we call overt people and there's covert people. And in the Scripture, what do y'all think Peter was? The disciple. He was overt, right? He was outspoken. As I heard Amy Downey said this about her mother that just went home with the Lord. She said, "My mom didn't have an edit button." And I thought that was really good, because that was Barbara. We all love Barbara, and she's with the Lord today. But that was Peter as well. He didn't have an edit button. I mean, he just, no filter. It came out, whatever he was thinking. Then there was covert, when you study the Gospels. The covert person was Judas. And if you didn't know the word, if you didn't know the word of God, and I could just show you two people, those two guys, you didn't already know the stories that are pertaining to these two guys. And if I told you that one of them was going to betray Jesus, and he's going to be the one that, you know, sells him into the, you know, for 30 pieces of silver, and I'd say, which one would you check? Most people, if they didn't know the story, would check Peter, because he's the outspoken, you know, all the, Jesus even had to call him, "Get behind me, Satan," one time, because he's just talking all the time. Nobody would have picked Judas, because Judas was quiet, he was stealthy, and these are the people you don't know who they are until it's too late. You know? And that's why the Bible talks about, I'm going to flip it over to the church. In the church, in church world, the Apostle Paul said, don't lay hands on anybody suddenly. And what he meant was, don't hit somebody, you know, like this. He meant, don't set somebody into leadership in a hurry. Get to know them. Walk with them. Talk with them. You know, work with them. Get to know them. And then when the timing's right, then put them in place. So, you know, and I believe that the Gospels don't say this, but just I had this thought about Jesus. Jesus knew who Judas was, all right? He picked him as one of his 12. I believe that Jesus had grace for him, hoping that he would change. He didn't. I believe that Jesus left the money bag laying around on purpose, and he knew that Judas was stealing, you know, that this covert deal was going on. And I'm going to talk more about that here in a little bit, because there are some relationships that you need to end. And there was a time in their relationship that Jesus had a closure discussion, what I call a closing conversation with Judas. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself with everything. But this was the big idea that I had when I was getting this put together. My big idea is this, guys. We don't treat people the same. Love is free, but trust is earned, even in Jesus' life. Treat different people differently, all right? And because Christians are getting pressured today, well, you're supposed to love everybody. Well, I'm going to love them, but I don't trust them. Amen? Okay. So there's three, and I'm going to show you in Scripture, I'm just going to use the Bible and show you, that's what our manual for life is. There's three categories of people that are in the book of Proverbs, and it's all through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Before I get into that, I'm going to show you this slide, because there's four ways that you can begin to develop this gift of discernment of spirits in your life right now. Number one, ask for it, because it's a gift from God. James 4, verses 2 through 3 talks about that we have not because we ask not. Ask for it. Ask, God, give me the gift of discernment. I know that I can read human nature. Every one of us in here can read human nature to some degree. Some are better than others. But there is also a gift of this discernment of spirits that God wants to give his children. And it's not this, what I just read earlier, it's not this spooky gift. It's a very practical gift that God wants you to have to help you in life so you not have spiritual warfare all the time. Not going into Dramaville. Amen? All right. Here's the second thing. This is very, very, very important when I'm talking about this, is start with yourself. Look at somebody and say, start with yourself. Okay? This book, there are two purposes in it. The main purpose is it's a mirror, and it's a mirror for you to look at and work on Mark Haney. I see a scripture, work on Mark Haney. I don't get a scripture and say, Jada, thus saith the Lord, you're to submit to me every day, every moment. That's using the word not right, right? That's not good. That ain't good. That's not how you use a scripture. The scripture is a mirror for you. And then as you work on you, you'll be able to use it like binoculars to see other people as well. But God wants to give you his lens so that you can see other people through his eyes, no matter what they're doing or acting like. Amen? First of all, for you. And then you can use as binoculars. All right. Here's number three. Learn what the gift is and what it's not. So here's what I'm gonna tell you what it's not. God's not giving you this gift so you can be God's watchdog. Everybody comes around. You know, They're not of God. You know, they're evil. You know, okay. Everybody getting the point? All right. Because there's some people that they think that's what the gift is. You know, that I have that gift because so I can just bark at people all the time. No, that's and share on their social media page how wrong they are and all that kind of stuff. No, that's not why God wants you to have that. Okay. Here's what I want to tell you about. Learn what this gift is and what it's not. Here's another thing that it's not. Suspicion is the wicked stepsister of discernment, meaning when fear hijacks discernment, there's not only a spirit behind every corner, but you'll find you're highly suspicious of everyone's motives around you. And what I'm describing is not the gift of discernment of spirits in operation. It is straight up fear, and it's not from God. Amen? So that's not what it is either. So I'm hoping I'm making that point there. All right, now to go to Proverbs chapter 24, and I'm going to show you these three categories of people in Scripture. Is everybody learning something so far? Okay. Proverbs 24, verses 1 through 7 says, "Be not envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their hearts devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory and safety," one translation says. Verse 7 says, "Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the gate he does not open his mouth." This is just one passage of Scripture that I picked out. I encourage you to read all the book of Proverbs. And in fact, I need to go back because I missed one point on that. The four things is, let me go back one couple of slides. Number four, learn what the gift is and what it's not. Number four is read your Bible. And this is, I put up there Proverbs a day. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. If you'll read one a day, I promise you God will begin to download his wisdom into you for relationships. But when you start reading the book of Proverbs, you're going to find out what I just read in Proverbs chapter 24, that there are three categories of people in Scripture. There's the wise, there's the foolish, and there's the evil. The wise, the foolish, and the evil. Those three categories of people in life. Now here's number one. We're going to break these down for just a little bit. Number one, some people are evil. This is my thoughts. I believe that there are some people that are evil, some people that are wise, and I think that there's a whole bunch of foolish people. And the reason why they're foolish is just because they just haven't been taught. Haven't been taught the Word of God. They don't know no better. They weren't raised right. All those kind of things come into play. Their environments, their backgrounds, their past, and all that. But here's the deal for every one of us here, and I know some of you are thinking of Luke Bryan and his song about, you know, all people are good. The Bible says that there are some people that are evil. This is where I get my truth from. Amen? Okay. Some people are evil. And here's the deal. They are intentionally dangerous. They use their energy to create injury. They are tormented by demonic powers. They work through fear and punishment. They have no sympathy, no empathy, and no compassion. Something is broken in their soul. And the only person that can help them is Jesus. That's the only person that can help them. Something's broken. Something happened in their past. Maybe it was a traumatic. There's all kinds of things, a traumatic event, whatever, but they're broken. When you study the Gospels, the number one emotion that Jesus put out to mankind, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is compassion. He had compassion on people. He loved people. So there are evil people. Now, how do you have a relationship with evil people? And this is what you do, because you may have to work with somebody like this. You have a professional relationship with evil people. And what does that mean? They need help, but it ain't going to come from you. It means you have to have a distant relationship with them. They need Jesus. They need to get a counselor. They need you to pray for them. They need a treatment program, or they may need a jail cell. I'm just being honest with that's what you're dealing with and what the Bible talks about with somebody that's evil. And that's how you have a very professional. You don't get close to them. You don't share anything about your life, your family. It's not a close relationship. It's a very, very distant relationship, if there's one at all. And in Scripture, because I've told you we're going to look at Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing, and I don't have time. I encourage you to go look all these stories up because it'll help you. But Jesus had a closure conversation with Judas. And it was a conversation that, what I call a closure conversation is this. It's the talk to never talk again. We're going to have a talk, but after we talk, then we're never going to talk again. Because there's something evil in you, and we're just not going to talk again. Now, that's the deal that Jesus had. I believe that Judas had lots of opportunity, that Jesus gave him lots of opportunity. And there was a time at the dinner table, y'all know this story, most of you do, where he reached for the bread, and Jesus, they got hands together, and they locked eyes, and Jesus said, what you're doing, you need to go do quickly. He knew what he was doing. He was turning him over, and he went and did that as an example of, and you can have these kind of, and the reason why I'm saying this, guys, is because some of you are looking at me like, we can do that? You know, that's possible? And here's the deal. This is very rare, okay? It's very rare. I can honestly say I've only done it two times in my life, and I'm 50, that I can honestly say that I had a closure conversation with somebody. It's very rare, but what I want you to do, and you can do it with evil people, and you can do it with foolish people, because sometimes foolish people are never going to change. They're just going to stay foolish. Sometimes I was foolish, but I changed. Thank God I'm getting wiser. I'm still foolish in some areas, but I'm getting wiser. I believe that. I don't want to be an evil person. But you can have this conversation with evil people and with foolish people, because sometimes foolish people don't want to change. And here's the deal. It's very rare, but give yourself permission to do it. Because sometimes as Christians, we don't think we can do that kind of stuff. That is balagna. That means baloney, by the way. All right, that's, I always have to remember that. That's how I can spell baloney, as I say balagna. You've got to know that I can give myself permission to do that and still be a Christian. And still, because you're protecting your life from spiritual warfare, you're protecting your marriage, and you're protecting your children, and you're protecting your church, your community. Now, here's where it gets tricky, guys, because I told you this is, it's a rare thing, but And I know people, I can see the light bulbs turning on. You're seeing foolish people and you're seeing evil people in your minds right now. But foolish and evil people, if they are family, this is where it gets touchy. If they are family, other family members will pressure you to make them the exception. And here's the deal. They are not the exception. So sometimes you're going to have to stand your ground and have those hard conversations, speaking the truth in love. Because here's the deal, what you're doing is protecting your sanity. That's one way to say it. But it's also what you don't realize, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. There's a spiritual battle going on. How many of you ever had a family member that was so caught up in drama that when they came around, all of a sudden you got sucked into their drama? Yeah, we all have. So sometimes we have to draw those boundaries and things and have those tough conversations and maybe sometimes a closure conversation. Say, hey, until I'm not your Jesus, and until you get your act together, we can't be in relationship. Because what it does is protect you and protect your marriage and your family. And I know this is easier said than done, but these are things that people need to hear from the pulpit. Amen? I hope so. I hope this is helping you. And here's number two. Some people are foolish. But here's the deal, I wrote this up there. Some people are smart enough to act dumb enough to get you to take care of their problems for them. Can I say that again? Some people are smart enough to act dumb enough to get you to take care of their problems for them. They're not as foolish as you think they are. They're actually smarter. How I refer to foolish people is they're like dump trucks. They dump their burdens, their irresponsibilities on people that are responsible. And foolish people deny reality. They live in their own made-up fantasy world. They're constantly, when they come around, this is what you hear. Beep, beep, beep. I mean, it's a dump truck. I know I'm being harsh up here today, but guys, I'm trying to help us all in our relationships. That's what you hear when you see their number come up on the beep, 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 because they're fixing to dump on you. And we've all been there. I've been there. I promise you I have. All right. Wise people make plans, but foolish people make excuses. Foolish people only think of themselves. Wise people are life-giving and burden lifters. Foolish people are life-taking and burden givers. But here's the deal, and I wrote this at the last, but here's the problem. This is one of the problems with foolish people. They're fun. They're fun to be around. We enjoy them, but we don't respect them. How many of you ever did some foolish things in high school? You know, we all have. We've all got stories. So, you know, but foolish people, and I saw a pastor talk about this one time about foolish people. He said, if you had wise people up here, here's foolish people and there's evil. He said, this is the problem, though. It's just like with gravity. It's hard for a foolish person to come up here, but it's very easy for them to go down here. I mean, so there's that. It works like gravity. So if they're going to gravitate to anywhere, a foolish person is going to, if they don't get around some wise people to come up and get out of that stuff. And that's why a lot of foolish people never change, because they don't get around the right crowd. Here's what foolish people need. Foolish people need consequences, they need boundaries and assignments, and they're motivated by pain. And you have a professional relationship with a evil person, you have a pastoral relationship with foolish people. I mean, you're going to be teaching them how to and do these things. You may get in a boat with them, but you're going to give them an oar and you'll have an oar. And you row together. You do this and I'll do this. You do this and I'll do this. Does that make sense? Don't let them dump on you and say, you rowed the boat for me. You know, and you're sitting out there rowing the kayak and they've got all their burdens back here and you're going, you know. No, make them get up here with you and take an oar and get some responsibility. And everybody said, okay, all right. Here's the third one, and I know everybody in here is going, this is my category. If you're saying that, we just came from your category. Some people are wise. Some people are wise. They're not always the most, and here's the deal about wise people. They're not always the most intelligent or most educated. They don't have all the degrees. They don't, you know, the high IQs and all that kind of stuff. You know, a lot of knowledge puffs up people, but knowledge comes from school. Wisdom comes from the Spirit. And what happens with the wise person is you have a personal relationship with wise people. That's who you want to have personal relationships with, is wise people. I had a personal relationship with a pastor that I went to his funeral this past week. And his name was Dick Chapman. He was a pastor at Altus Christian Fellowship in Altus, Oklahoma. This man was 6'10". I really think he was 7 foot. But he had white hair and a white beard. And he's a very gentle giant is what I called him. But he had lots of wisdom. And he always came to once a month in our association of churches. We have a pastor's meeting in Oklahoma City. And he's always there. And whenever Dick would speak up, everybody was quiet and listened to him. Because he had lots of wisdom that he would share. And in our group, he never did talk a whole lot, but when he did talk, everybody listened. You know who talked all the time? That was Pastor Ricky, okay? And Pastor, I love it, Pastor Ricky, he'd always look at Dick and he said, that's exactly what I was trying to say, but you just said it better. Ricky, you know, when you're in a small group, there's always that one that takes over the meeting, and that was Pastor Ricky. And Pastor Dick was the one that brought the wisdom. And I came up to Pastor Dick was a big movie buff, and because their church there in Altus is actually the theater, used to be the old movie theater downtown, and so they made it into a church, but they still used it on special occasions for family movie nights there, and it was a pretty cool deal. And so Dick Chat, he loved movies, and he'd tell me he'd go to Warren, you know, the big movie theater there in Moore, Warren Theater, and he said, I'd camp out for 2 days and just watch movies, you know, and just veg out. And just a great guy. And but I came up to him one time. How many of you have seen Lord of the Rings? All right, okay. I love that movie. And I came up to him and I said, Dick, guess what? I said, you're my Gandalf, and I'm your Frodo. Because I feel like I'm a pretty big guy, but I mean, I came up to like, I mean, just below his chest area. You know, I was just looking up at him. I said, "You're my Gandalf to my Frodo." But he was a wise man. He was a guy that all of us pastors love to hear from and be around. And that was one of the things that came out from all of us pastors that went to our coaching meeting that we call it, was there for his funeral. And that was the one word that kept coming up, was the wisdom that he had that he shared with us. And we're going to definitely miss him. He was definitely a wise man. And, you know, the thing that I, about wise people, this is the one thing that really got me about Dick. And this was the last time that I was around him in our last meeting that we had. And it moved me. Because he got teary-eyed when he was sharing it. And because we were talking about everything that's going on in our nation and everything. And, you know, and you get a lot of pastors' responses, we need to preach hellfire and brimstone, you know, and that. And Dick spoke up, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, you know what the Holy Spirit's ministering to me? He said that we all need to be more humble. And I was like, wow. He used 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, if my people will humble themselves. He says, if my people will humble themselves, then I will. And he said, I've just been learning how to get more humble before the Lord. And I was like, wow. And that leads me to this, and this is why I already knew that Dick was a wise man, but Proverbs 9, verse 8 says, do not reprove a scoffer or a fool, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. And so Dick was opening himself up to the Holy Spirit, saying, I want correction. I want to stay humble. And correction leads to connection with the Lord and with other people as well. All right. Last few slides, okay? There's six kinds of relationships, and I'll leave this one up there for a little bit. There's the wise plus the foolish. And that equals a parental relationship. If you have teenagers, you know what I'm talking about. I'm just kidding. In some ways, I am. In some ways, I'm not. But here's the deal, guys. And yeah, there's wise and foolish, and that's a parental relationship. And we all, you know, Jade and I raised our daughter. And but here's the deal: where it gets tricky, where this really gets out of line is when a wise plus foolish is in a marriage. That doesn't make for a healthy marriage. And I've had some marriage counseling where the wife, and vice versa too, it's not just the guys either, but they say, I feel like I'm raising my son, a son instead of a husband. You don't feel that way, do you, Jada? Okay. number two is wise plus evil. And I already talked about that earlier. That's where you have a distant relationship. Because some of these relationships, you can have choices and do some things, but some of it may happen in a work-related environment or whatever that you're going to have. But these, now you're going to know how you handle these certain relationships. So that's a distant relationship. Then you have the third one is the foolish plus the foolish. And this is like Mardi Gras. That's the foolish things. It's I put down codependent relationship, and that's where a foolish plus foolish is where you are. I'm looking to Jada to be my Holy Spirit Junior and to meet every need that only Jesus can meet, and vice versa. And so that doesn't make for a healthy relationship. Jesus, Jada, I make a great husband. I believe that. I'm saying that by faith right now. I'll know after church, but I don't make a great Jesus. Amen. And so when you're trying to get your spouse to fulfill that role that only the Lord can, that it doesn't work that way. It's not healthy. The fourth thing is the foolish plus evil. This is where abusive relationships happen. And I just want to tell, I know I look back at the back and I see Travis, all he does in the sound booth for us, and I appreciate Travis, and he's got daughters. I have a daughter as well. Is daddies, protect your daughters from this. Teach them what a real man is, a real husband, a real gentleman. Don't let them, because right now, as they grow up in your home, believe it or not, you're downloading wisdom to them, but they're very naive and gullible and foolish right now because they haven't been taught what all is out there. And so that's our job as parents to download that. So daddies, protect your daughters in that situation. I'll never forget, there was when Taya was young, she wanted to go stay the night at somebody's house, and we told her that she couldn't, because we knew some other things that go on there. And she was good friends with this little girl. And if you don't, some of you in here know Taya, but she don't give up. And so she was constantly asking us, can I go? And we finally said no. And I had to have this talk with her. I said, honey, when daddy says no, I mean no. And she goes, but why? I said, just no, honey. Just know that daddy says no. No, 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 no. And later in life, I had the opportunity later in life to tell her why. And she was like, oh, thank you, daddy. Thank you for not letting me go to that house. And we was like, yeah. You know, listen to your parents. Listen to your parents even as you get older. I'm 50 and still listening to my parents because they have wisdom. They've been through some things that you haven't. I know my dad don't think so, but I'm still listening to him. But that's the foolish plus evil is the abusive relationships. Then there's the fifth one there, evil plus evil. That's a dangerous, demonic relationship. And then what we're all going for is number six, is the wise plus wise, and that's a healthy, vibrant, growing relationship, godly relationship. It's a personal relationship. It's not a professional relationship or a pastoral relationship. It's a personal relationship. I love this. This is the last scripture that I'm going to show you today, and this is Proverbs 13, verse 20. And it says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companions of fools will suffer harm. So I was going to just put the first part of that scripture up there, but I thought, no, I need to put the rest of it, because you don't want to hang out with fools because you're going to suffer harm if you do. But if you walk with the wise, you're going to become wise. And the one person that you can start walking with today who is wisdom, and his name is Jesus. Amen. And as you begin walking with him, he's going to take care of the foolishness that's in you as you walk with him. And remember, I said, and how you walk with him is that relationship, your prayer life, but also in this word. And use this as a mirror. Don't just constantly use it as binoculars and going, I told you to submit. No, that's not how you use these. That's not how you use this. You use this as a mirror where it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wow. There you go. That's the mirror that you've got to look through. And so I hope this has helped you guys today. And I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then I'm going to speak a blessing over you. This is the prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I know that we have lots of people that watch this online, and then it'll be on the radio again next week. So, and I look around here, and I think I know everybody here, but I always do this every Sunday just to make sure that we all know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Because the Bible says in Romans 10 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we'll believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. If that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, I encourage you to follow the Lord in water baptism, and we can fill up our baptistry for next Sunday. And if you've never done that, or maybe you've done it once as a child and you want to do it again, we can do that as well. Jada, will you come up here, and I want everybody to stand up, because I'm going to speak a blessing over everybody here. And this is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And I had found this, and it's kind of a an extended version of it. I know my Uncle Jack, he's been watching this online, and he was like, he goes, I love that blessing that you speak at the end. So I'm going to speak this blessing over y'all. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck and say, I've got SI now. I've got some spiritual intelligence.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you.